97.9 FM, WCHL, and University Square present Side Dish, hosted by Deborah Miller. Side Dish, featuring 30 minutes of tasty talk with local chefs, culinary experts, and more. Side Dish is brought to you by University Square, local and legendary shopping and dining in downtown Chapel Hill. University Square, see you there. Now, here's your host for Side Dish, Deborah Miller.
Welcome to Side Dish. I am Deborah Miller, and Rebecca Lang, I have you around my table again. It's so exciting. We were just saying it felt like we were just in a living room somewhere.
I know. Isn't that nice? One day we're going to get to do this face-to-face, and it will be even more fun, I'm sure.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be fun. But I had such a good time, and we always have so much fun, and I leave hanging up just starving.
So. I know, me too. So I'm going to have to make a stop on the way home somewhere. I wish I could stop somewhere and get this country ham and cheese biscuit bread.
Oh, gosh. Isn't that so good? You know, Deborah, when I was working on that recipe, the bread is cooked in a loaf pan, and I wanted to do a bread that was biscuit dough, but that baked up to be something you could slice, and you know how I love bacon and ham. Mm-hmm. There are very few things I don't love. But so it took me a while to kind of get this perfected, where we then had the layer of the biscuit dough and then put cheese and cooked country ham crumbled on there, and then another layer, and it stacks up, and it's so pretty. It looks like stripes of biscuits and country ham and cheese. I mean, it is
beautiful. So for all you out there who don't know what we're talking about, we have, it's like a happy birthday to the new book, which just came out the 2nd, which was 2 days ago, and because we're recording this on the 4th, Southern Living's Around the Southern Table, Coming Home to Comforting Meals and Treasured Memories, and it looks like a Southern Living book. You know, it has that, they have just a look and feel about them, don't they?
They do, and you know, this one, Jennifer Davick was the photographer on this book, and it is, I'm very biased, but I think it is the most beautiful book to ever come out of Southern Living. And they do beautiful books, and this, to say this is the most beautiful, says a lot. And I have always dreamed my entire life, this is my 4th book, to have my name on a book this beautiful, and to open it up is every time, and I've opened it 100 times at least a day, you know, and it takes my breath away. It is so pretty. I think it can go from the coffee table to the kitchen, to snuggle up in the bed and read it when you go to bed. It can go to any room in the house and be completely comfortable there.
So you go to bed and you take the book and you're dreaming about. See, now I always heard that a real foodie was taught at lunch talking about what they were going to have for dinner, but a real foodie takes the book to bed with them.
Oh, I read more cookbooks in bed than I do in the kitchen. I mean, if the book doesn't pass the test when I'm snuggled up going to bed, then it's not going to get in the kitchen. So that's, anytime I buy a book, that's where we start, is in the bedroom.
Uh-huh.
And then anytime I can, you know, sit down and be quiet and get to visit and know that book, then we then move in the kitchen and start getting cooking. But I think this one's so pretty, it's just going to send you to bed hungry.
Oh my gosh, I'm looking at this stuffed trout wrapped in bacon. And so part of the reason we're talking is that you're going to be in Chapel Hill, and you are just always welcome to come visit us here. And you have a lunch at McIntyre's at Farrington on October the 10th. That's at around noon?
Yes. So the lunch starts at 1 o'clock, and the menu is going to be really good. We're doing marinated asparagus and pecan salad.
Ooh.
And a great recipe for lunch or dinner or even Christmas Eve is my Atlantic shrimp and grits, which the grits are cooked with evaporated milk and chicken broth so they stand up on your plate. And then dessert is going to be chocolate bourbon pecan pie. So how good does that sound?
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, I think we'll all just roll out of there when the lunch is over. It's going to be so much fun.
I'm sort of flipping through the book. Well, let's back up. You're also going to be at a Southern Season on the day after that, on the 11th, which is a Thursday. And you have one of your famous classes at 5 p.m., right?
At 5 p.m. And that's one of my favorite places in the United States to teach. They do such a good job. The kitchen is incredible. And I'll tell you, we're doing country ham jam and pimento cheese.
Oh.
And then peppered pork roast with blue cheese grits that are really good. It's going to be perfect for fall. And beet and chef salad, and then we are topping it off with raspberry lime coconut cake that is insane. I can barely talk about it without racing upstairs. It's so good, but It's green. It's got the green of the lime curd and the red of the raspberry and the white on the outside. So if you're already thinking about Christmas, which I am, it is ideal for Christmas Eve or Christmas Day for your dessert.
Oh.
I know. It's so good. I made it for my mom's birthday, and I thought she was just, she couldn't talk. Like, she couldn't talk for 5 minutes. It was so good. That cake lasted maybe half a day in my house.
I do not get how you are not 900 pounds.
Because I have my tiny, tiny babies. I call them tiny babies. They're 3 and 7. And, Deborah, honestly, I don't sit down very much. I'm either chasing a child or I'm standing up cooking something. So I think the fact that I move around certainly does help because I do my fair share of eating.
Well, and you do your share of cookbooks. And one of my questions is, how in the heck do you find all these recipes?
I am always thinking about something that's good, something that would go together. And I carry a notebook in my purse and I have a notebook in my car. So if an idea comes to me, like the biscuit bread actually came to me in the car.
Really?
And not exactly the recipe of how to make it work, but the idea of it. And I'll jot that down, and then I know next time I'm writing a book, I kind of have a source to go back to and draw up a list of recipes. But the easy part, not easy part, but the way a cookbook starts a lot of times is you turn in a list of recipes to your editor, and then so you have, once those are approved, a list to work off of to say, I have to come up with a recipe for raspberry lime coconut cake. So you can come up with these really cool ideas, but then you have a spot to start when you get in the kitchen. Because you can't just go in the kitchen and say, I'm going to make a cake. What in the world am I going to make?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have a little bit of a line to go down the road with.
Well, hold that thought. We're going to have to go to break. You are listening to Side Dish on WCHL. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
We now return to Side Dish, brought to you by University Square. Unique, locally owned shops with free parking in downtown Chapel Hill. University Square. See you there. Once again, your host on WCHL, Deborah Miller.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Deborah Miller, and I have around my virtual table today Rebecca Lang, and we are talking about her new book, Around the Southern Table, Coming Home to Comforting Meals and Treasured Memories. It's a Southern living book, and it is beautiful. So we were talking about your process.
Yes. And, you know, everybody always says, how do you come up with all the recipes? And I think the longer you cook and honestly, the more you eat, it's just like a writer has to read. A writer of novels can't write a novel without ever reading one.
Mm-hmm.
So the more I'm around food and the more I read recipes and the more I go out to eat, it's all just research and development. I think it all just kind of plays into being part of writing a cookbook. But it is it's not an easy task to do it, but it's certainly a labor of love. It's something that I love doing because I can write cookbooks and I can be at home with the children and I can, you know, wear my pajama pants if I want to. I'll get some recipes.
I love that idea.
We're all at home together, which is the big, big point of the picture.
Well, do they test the stuff? Do they taste test the recipes sometimes?
Oh, yes. This cookbook has been tested more than you can
find. Well, I meant the children.
Oh, the children. I was about to say, we went through Southern Living Test Kitchen. We've tested out just everywhere for this book. But the children, they'll pop in the kitchen. It kind of depends on what chapter I was working on. Of course, when I was doing desserts, they were
right
at my heels the whole time. And usually I try to fix it where I am done testing about mid-afternoon, so we already automatically have supper ready. So we've really, you know, we've lived and breathed this cookbook for a year. So everybody's had it for dinner, and I would try to do that because, you know, it just makes sense because we've got to eat anyway. So we just as well be working on recipes that we could have for supper.
I'm betting the macaroni with 5 cheeses was a favorite.
Goodness gracious. That is good, good. It has the croissants on top that are cut in cubes and tossed in butter. I love macaroni and cheese, and I have since I was a tiny, tiny girl. That's one of my favorite things. And both my grandmothers made it differently, so I never really had one that was the exact one I loved. I loved both of them. And that's kind of something wherever I go, I try anybody's macaroni and cheese. But this one I will dare somebody to beat. It is incredible. And it's not an inexpensive thing to make. Because, you know, you can see it's got enough cheese in there to cost you a little bit. But it's so rich and good. It's so good.
Well, so I guess this means you're on a book tour to promote this. Where are all of you going?
Coming up, I'm going to come see y'all, so I'll be in Chapel Hill. And then I'm headed from there. I go to Nashville. And then a few weeks later, I'll be over in Birmingham. So I've actually already done, last week was really busy. I was in Atlanta and Charleston last week. So I've been kind of hitting the road, but it's so fun. And to meet people who love Southern living, because it's such a part of the South. And it's kind of, I call it the Bible of the South. Everybody has Southern living in their house. But it's nice to meet people and talk to them. And this last weekend, I've talked to so many people that had subscribed to the magazine and have been doing so for 40 years. And it's really, really neat to talk to them, I think, because we all have that in common. You can always have a common thread of Southern living.
Well, I think that's true. And if I look through my own recipe files, I tear recipes out of magazines, and I keep notebooks and with plastic pages, slip-in pages. And when I look through that, those, I must have 10, 15 ring binders. And inevitably, when I go through them, I'm always surprised at how many pages are torn out from Southern Living through the years.
Well, and they always work. The recipes are fantastic, and they've been through the test kitchen. So I think you can pick up a recipe, no matter what Southern Living book or magazine that it came from, and you know the first time you try it, it's going to work. You're not going to have something that failed and you wasted your time, because they really make a point of ensuring that everything has been thoroughly tested, which is like an insurance policy. I like that.
Well, it is, and it's tried and true. I mean, I have never had a recipe not work. And they just got, what's his name that just went to work down there? Hunter...
Yeah, he's just started two weeks ago.
Yes. You know, he was from Chapel Hill.
I just have heard this morning that he grew up right in y'all's backyard.
He did. So we're really thrilled. It's like, homeboy made good.
Oh, and he's done a lot of good stuff, but we are certainly glad to have him on board. I can't wait to meet him. I hadn't seen him yet.
Oh, you haven't?
No, because, I'm in Athens.
Well, yeah.
And the offices are in Birmingham, Alabama. So, I rarely see people face-to-face, because I'm working from home, which is nice.
With your little Cavalier King Charles Spaniel.
With my sweet, sweet dog. Her name is Miss B. And now that's probably my number one taste tester, honestly, because Miss B stays in the kitchen and stays right near where I am. So she doesn't miss too much about what's cooking on the counter. If something ever slips over... I don't even know that it hits the floor. I mean, she's on it.
Is there anything that she does not like?
I cannot think of a single thing in the world that she doesn't like.
My dog did not like beans. He had this way of, you would put something with beans and you would go and later and look in the bowl and he had eaten around everything else and left every bean.
Now,
how do they know how to do that?
Sweet thing. He knew what he wanted, didn't he?
He did. Well, okay, so I'm sort of flipping through the book as we're talking, and I landed on white barbecue chicken. That's a little different.
It is different, especially from where y'all are. It's a Northern Alabama specialty, and I actually did not know about white barbecue chicken until I moved to Birmingham when I first started working there years and years ago. And it's fairly common there. And then when you come a little bit more east, even in Georgia, we don't have it. So that's something that last time I was at Southern Season, I made, and a lot of people signed up for the class just to see that white barbecue chicken. But it's really tangy. The base of it is mayonnaise, and a lot of apple cider vinegar, a ton of fresh ground pepper. But it is one of my favorite things to do in the summertime, and I'll marinate it here in Athens and put it in a bag. And then we'll drive down to the beach for vacation, and I'll let that chicken marinate all the way down there in the cooler.
Oh, my gosh.
When we get there and get unpacked and settled in, all I have to do is turn on the grill and pull the chicken out and grill it, and we have a fantastic homemade barbecue supper that night that has been working all the way down there.
Well, that sounds fabulous. Well, we're going to have to run to break again. Don't go away. We'll be right back. You're listening to Side Dish on 97.9 FM.
We now return to Side Dish, brought to you by University Square, local and legendary downtown shopping and dining. Now welcomes KidZoo Children's Museum. See you there. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Once again, here's Deborah Miller.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I am around my table with Rebecca Lang, and we are talking about her new cookbook, Around the Southern Table, Coming Home to Comforting Meals and Treasured Memories. And that brings up a good point. I grew up, supper time and around the table was really important to my family. We had to be there.
And you know, I think a lot of times we get so busy, especially people with young children, because we're all running to different activities. But it's still so important to get around that table and be a family. And it doesn't matter what time of day it is. Just get at the table. And I'll tell you, I have the reason this book exists is the table that we have in our dining room is the same table that my grandmother grew up around. And she's no longer living, but she died at 100 several years ago. And she had 10 brothers and sisters, and every one of those children was raised around that table that still sits in my house. And so my children now climb up in a chair to the exact same place where Tom, we called her, her last name was Thomas, and we called her Tom.
Uh-huh.
And my grandmother Tom sat when she was 2 and 3 years old. And that means more to me than any physical item in my life. I can't imagine not having that table to put my plates down on and take my food from the oven straight to. And so it's the center of my house. It's the center of my family. And for generations, I hope that we pass this table down again and again and again. And to know my great-grandmother, who I never met, cooked food and served at that table just almost overwhelms me. It's amazing to me that I can live in this generation and be 35 years old in 2012 and be putting a casserole down on the same table that she did so, so many years ago.
Well, no, I totally agree with you because I have my grandmother's table.
Oh,
and
you.
They had 11 kids, and so they didn't have chairs on either side. They had benches.
Wow,
and,
that's fantastic.
I have the table and one of the benches.
Oh.
And unfortunately right now, in my house, I don't have a dining room, so I can't set that table up, and I pass it. It's in a safe place, and I pass it, and I'm really sweet to it, and I wish for anything that my ship would come down my street with enough money to build a dining room on so that I can set my table back up. But there's memories and memories and memories around that table. So,
and for us, we make sure we reconnect at the table every single, most of the time it's for supper. On the weekends, we
right.
do big breakfast. But we reconnect. There's not a cell phone on. There's not a TV on. It is just me and my husband and my children and a lot of times my parents because they help with our children so much and live right down the street. But it's our place that we all meet. And I was thinking the other day of all the things that have happened just in the last year around that table. And it's amazing to think of all the recipes tested, all the thank you notes written.
Mm-hmm.
All the homework done, the Bible studied, everything happens at that one spot. And so I know it's not just me and it's not just you. Everybody has a connection with that table. And even if they're not Southern, you still have a table. Even if it's brand new yesterday, that's where the center of your home is at that table. So I wrote this book to try to get us all to come back to the table and have that quiet time with the family and get to know each other again. And also to have recipes that are going to be passed down from generation to generation. I think what is in this book, these recipes are so incredibly good and so tied to the heritage of the South.
Mm-hmm.
That these are recipes very well that somebody who buys it today, their grandchildren may be passing down. I feel totally confident in saying that they're recipes that are worthy for generations.
No, that's absolutely true. And one of the other things that totally charmed me about the book is that you have some fairly well-known people contributing thoughts on their own Southern table with Zach Brown and Raquel Smith and Allie Landry. Did you get to meet all those people?
I wish I did. I wish that I had a jet and I just flew to all of them and talked to them about their tables. But no, we did a lot of talking on the phone. And it's so interesting. It doesn't matter how famous somebody is or how successful, they still have that relationship with their table. And Cassandra King, a novelist, is in there. And I've read all of her books. I'm a huge, huge fan. And I wanted to make sure she was in the book. And she grew up on a farm. And so she always it doesn't matter where you grow up, but she will always have that connection with her table, how they came back and had lunch after being on the farm.
Oh, they do.
And, you know, it's something that it's a common thread. We all have it. And I just love hearing the different angles that people have the table. And Vern Yip,
I just saw his.
Everybody knows Vern from TV. He's a famous designer. And he has an incredible relationship with his table that he bought, actually, for his mom. And she's not around anymore. And so, you know, it doesn't matter the table, and it doesn't matter where the table sits, but it matters what happens around that table.
It absolutely does. And we weren't allowed to answer the phone. And, I mean, back when I was growing up, as you know, we didn't have cell phones, and we were just required to be at the table. It didn't matter. There was no—for some reason back then, they didn't schedule any kind of practice or Girl Scouts or anything during the dinner hour.
Well, that was a nice, nice time. Because now, as a mom of two children, and my oldest is 7, and he's now getting into the activities. You know, I think a lot of times people don't think that we need to be at home at that hour, and we need to be around that table. We don't need to be sitting on the side of a soccer field every single weeknight.
No, that is true.
And that's me being kind of opinionated. But I take that time with my family around the table pretty sacred, and we don't let too much get in the way of that.
No, I agree. In fact, I married a man who they did not do that, and some of our biggest set-tos were he didn't, that wasn't important to him, and it was important to me. And I think, you know, I think when you start a marriage contract, you should talk about that and say, what was your dinner table like?
You know, that's an excellent point.
Yeah.
Check on that dinner table, how they grew up with it. And, you know, I think I told you last time, I married a man that doesn't eat pimento cheese.
Oh.
How did that happen?
Yeah, really.
Well, we're trying to recover from this. I keep serving him more and more, and I think he's coming around to it, but I hadn't worked on a sandwich with him yet.
Well, we're going to have to go. Before we go, Rebecca's going to be in town next on the 10th and 11th of October, the 10th at McIntyre's at noon for a lunch, and then again on the 11th at a Southern Season for a class at 5. There are still tickets available, so call a Southern Season and get in there, and you've got to have this book. Rebecca, thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
This was fun as usual, and I'll talk to you next book.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Side Dish, Tasty Talk with culinary aficionados, wine connoisseurs, and more. Side Dish is brought to you by University Square, local and legendary shopping and dining in downtown Chapel Hill. University Square, see you there. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Side Dish is an exclusive broadcast of 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.